Welcome to the St. George in the Pines Sermon Podcast from Banff, Alberta. Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, reflecting on how Jesus takes on our brokenness and offers us a lasting identity, forgiven and called to forgive. May this message remind you of the grace poured out through Christ, inviting us to live as his beloved children. Let's listen in.
The first reading is a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes, and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yeah.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And as we're standing, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that only your word be spoken, only your word heard, and only your word lived. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Today is a really beautiful, important day in the life of the Christian church. It's called the Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And it's a day where we commemorate, where we remember the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. In fact, right now, we're at the beginning of a new season in the life of the church called Epiphany or Epiphany Tide. And we've had Advent. We had the Christmas season. And now in Epiphany, we take a few weeks to look at these essential moments in the life of Jesus and to discover what Jesus is revealing in these key moments in his life. And so today we're looking at his baptism. This is such an important day. It's almost a shame that we only give it one Sunday in the whole year. If you're a follower of Jesus, no matter what Christian tradition you may have been brought up in or you identify with, baptism plays a key role in the life of every believer. Now, I know in the Christian family, we have a lot of different maybe understandings or takes on what baptism is. We're going to talk about that today. For some of us, we were baptized when we were infants, so we don't remember our baptism. Maybe we have stories from our family letting us know what family members were there, what day, what church, the event. We don't have the memory. Others have that memory. We don't. That might be the story for some of us. For others of us, we were baptized when we were a little older, and perhaps we remember that day quite clearly. And it was maybe it was a day that you were longing for. It was a very exciting day. Maybe it was a day that you just sort of did what it was expected of you and you were baptized. I was 12 when I was baptized. In the tradition that I was part of when I was a kid, there's no such thing as baby baptisms. And so 12 was the youngest the church would baptize, and it was in a lake. And I remember that day. It was cold, but very beautiful. Of course, here in the Anglican Church, we do baptize folks at any age. And what I've discovered as, you know, not only exploring my own baptism, but I have the privilege of having spiritual conversations with all kinds of folks. When it comes to baptism, it's a topic that we'll all have maybe a story about our own lives, and that's where it ends. And we don't really have a sense of what is baptism really? Why baptism? Why is this one of the most ancient rites of the church? That's an important question. And I want us to look at that. I think we have to look at it because in looking at what baptism is, what we've participated in, we have a chance of seeing the tremendous love and presence of God in this world and in our lives. And so to miss that would be the greatest shame. So that's what we're doing today. We're looking at what baptism is. Now, today's gospel reading, it's almost weird because we just had Advent, which is like John the Baptist is a big guy during Advent. And then we show up today and it's kind of, he's the star again. In fact, in this gospel reading, the baptism of Jesus is kind of like a footnote at the end of this other story of John testifying that he's not the Messiah. He has then some very hard words, I don't know if you missed them, that God's going to come down, he's going to start sifting the wheat from the chaff, there's going to be unquenchable fire. And then the folks who arranged the lectionary, there's that middle part that we read about John speaking against Herod, because Herod's sleeping with his brother's wife. He gets in prison. They omit that. I put it back in. I thought it was very exciting. They put it in. But notice what happens. John is saying God's going to kind of divide people between the wheat and the people who are going to a quenchable fire. And then the next line is, and then John continued to share good news. I don't know what you want to call that verse. I don't know that you would and I would. We call it good news, unquenchable fire? Am I going to be part of that? Oh, it is good news. It wouldn't seem like it, but he was sharing that good news. And then Herod, he might have reacted like most of us. Well, that didn't sound like good news. In fact, you're going to jail now. And he locks him up. And then footnote, Jesus was baptized with other people, was praying. And then the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove. The voice of God, hey, this is my son, who I am well pleased. What's happening there? So many questions. Now, I think the key question, maybe you already thought of this, has to be this. Why is Jesus being baptized? That's got to be the question. That's my question. Why is Jesus baptized? Think of the context. At this time, and this John the Baptist is baptizing people at the River Jordan. Judaism in this age didn't really have a baptismal process. There was ritual cleansing. There was part of that in ancient Judaism. There was a sort of a washing, but it wasn't a staple, and it definitely wasn't happening at the River Jordan. But John the Baptist, very uniquely, was calling the people to repentance, to turn away from their evil and to turn back to God. And people were responding by the hundreds, by the thousands. They were coming to the Jordan for various reasons. Maybe the spectacle of it all, of this like ancient prophet type preaching with fire, curiosity. Maybe some people were thinking, you know what? Yeah, we're being conquered over. The Greeks conquer us. The Romans conquer us. We don't have God's attention, his providence. Maybe we got to turn back. You're right. Maybe we should be repenting, turning back. I mean, people are coming. And of course, others with sensitive spiritualities or faith saying, you know what? Yeah, my life isn't aligned with the life of God and I should repent. And I'm going to take this opportunity. You can imagine all these stories, people coming to the River Jordan to John the Baptist to be baptized. But why in heaven's name is Jesus showing up to be baptized? That's the question. of all people, the only human being, the only individual who never would have to come to the waters to repent to God, why is he showing up? That's the question. In another gospel, when it relates to the story, it says that John the Baptist doesn't want to initially. He says, whoa, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. This is a very odd moment. Now, why does Jesus do it? That's the question. Now, I'll tell you what, I can only share with you what I think is happening there. That's the best I can offer you, is that Jesus, what he's doing in that moment when he walks in the water, he is inaugurating the healing of the world and our lives in that water, in that moment. In fact, as Jesus comes to be baptized and says, I'm going to be baptized, John, you're going to baptize me. That moment that Jesus walks in, the whole history of the people of God, indeed the whole history of the human race, is it contained in that one moment. And Jesus is holding that moment and he's walking into the water to heal us, to destroy sin, to set us free. That's what's happening there. This is a tremendous moment. It's no accident that it's happening at the River Jordan. Just to, I could say too much today, and we got to have the 20 minutes, so I can't go all the way. But I just want you to think, you know, for those of you who like know the stories of the Bible a little bit, the River Jordan is huge. What happens to the River Jordan? When the people of God are rescued from slavery in Egypt, and God's bringing them to the new land, what river do they cross? What river is open for them to walk through? The River Jordan. When the two mightiest prophets in the Old Testament, Elisha and Elijah, God opens the waters. His presence, his very presence is there found in the River Jordan. When Naaman, the Syrian general, is suffering from leprosy and God intervenes to heal him, his body from death, where is he healed? In this one river where God repeatedly, his power, his presence, his healing show up in this river. Those moments in the Old Testament, these icons, these clues that God is leaving, not only in those real moments in the past where God's presence shows up, but he's weaving a narrative so that when the Son of God would show up, when God himself appears, that we would have an understanding of what's happening here. When Jesus shows up into the River Jordan, this is not ad hoc. This is not random. The history of the people of God, in fact, of the human race, is being recapitulated, is being shown in this moment where Jesus walks in. In other words, what Jesus is doing is he is so deeply identifying with our brokenness. At Christmas, when we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus, what God does, he's born as one of us. Yes, he joins us in our humanity. But what's unique about Jesus is that he's sinless. He never sins. He's not separated from God. He is the only human that is completely in union with the Creator. And yet when Jesus comes to as a human, joins us in our struggle, he comes to the water and says, though I don't need this, I am taking on your brokenness. And I'm taking on your suffering, your pain. I'm identifying with you. In this water, in this moment, where God has appeared, I have appeared definitively, and I'm joining you right now. That's what's happening. Now, I'm saying Jesus is identifying with us, and that might still seem obscure. What does that mean, to identify? I'll share with you a story. This is a true story. You may already know it, but the quickest way I can try to make sense of this, during World War II, during the Nazi regime, as we now know, there's concentration camps, a lot of misery, a lot of suffering. There's one concentration camp where an inmate escaped. He managed to free himself, ran away. And because he escaped, the prison guards said, well, now 10 of you are going to die because you allowed one to leave. And so 10 men at random were chosen. And when the final man was selected to be put into a starvation chamber, his name is Friedrich Guy of Nietzsche. And when his name was called out, it says that he exclaimed with heartbreak, saying, oh no, my wife, my children, I'll never see them again. They'll never see me again. And he was just rent. And as he was weeping and crying, there was a man, another inmate in the crowd, who's a Catholic priest. His name was Maximilian Kolbe. And he stepped forward and he said, well, I don't have a wife and I don't have children. I want to take his place. Would you let me take his place? And incredibly, the guards allowed it. And Frida Guy Meacham was allowed to go back, and Maximilian Kolbe stepped up and he gave his life for this man. And Frida Guy Meacham survived the concentration camps. In fact, he lived into his late 90s, and all his life, if you gave him a chance, he would always tell you about Maximilian Kolbe and how he saved his life. He never tired of sharing this story. But what did Kolbe do? Father Kolbe identified himself with Frida Guy Meacham. That's what he did. Kolbe could have said, I have not been selected. I am not part of the 10 that have been chosen to die, but I am choosing to identify with this man. Take me instead. And that's a beautiful moment. It's painful and beautiful to relate the story of Maximilian Kolbe. But I share this story with you for us to make sense of what Jesus is doing in the waters of baptism. Because, and Kolbe would have said this too, Jesus walks into the water. He's not just identifying with one or two or 10 people, but with all of us. Jesus is stepping and saying, I don't need to repent. I'm the only person who would never need this, but I am walking to the waters to take on your brokenness, to identify with you, that I would provide my life to be a healing and a source of love for you. You know what's interesting is after this moment, this incredible moment, Jesus talks to his disciples. If you read the Gospels, he relates to his followers that he's going to die, and they don't like it often. They often don't understand it. But he was often telling them, just so you know, I'm going to be killed. Do you know what he calls his death? If you look at the Gospels, you know what he calls it? He calls it his baptism. When he talks about his eventual death on the cross, he says, that's my baptism. Because on the cross, what Jesus does is he accomplishes the healing of the world in our life. But if that's his baptism, then well, we have to understand that the moment that Jesus walks into the water, all the way to the moment when he's strung up in that Roman tree, that is one single movement. That's what baptism is. It is the act of God intervening in our broken world. We, having rejected God in the primordial past, Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, that whole story, when God made the world good, he made it perfect, he made it beautiful. Nothing was wrong, but humanity and our wickedness reject God and divorce ourselves from life and love. And instead of earning the death and destruction we so handsomely purchased for ourselves, God enacted a plan to save us. And that's what Jesus does. He walks in the water to enact that plan to heal us. And when he's strapped up on the tree, that's that whole thing. That's the baptism of Jesus. And so when we commemorate it today and we think about it, that's what we're meant to consider. The saving act of Jesus that is meant to heal our world and our lives. So the key takeaway here is that baptism and the salvation of the world and your life is from the first and throughout the whole thing an act primarily of God for us. That's what baptism is. It's primarily the act of God definitively acting in history in our lives to redeem and to save us. And when I say this, now this is where it gets personal. Because if you're a Christian and if you've been baptized, this now gives you a framework to understand what happened. Because I remember my baptism. So in my tradition, when I was baptized, when I was much younger, 12, it was, Seth, do a little write-up and share about your faith. Because baptism in that tradition, in that church was, baptism is about you proclaiming your faith. And you share it. I'm not trying to open up old wounds and old wars between denominations. I'm just letting you know that I think about that. Because if that's the case, that baptism in the end is about you proclaiming your faith, and what ends up happening is you reduce the mighty work of God and you shift the attention from the beautiful work of Jesus to what I have to think or say about something. And my friends, that I can't imagine a worse way to miss the point. God's work in our lives is always primary. When Jesus goes into the water, you know, I mentioned that's all history. We heard from Isaiah, that beautiful chapter 43, when it says, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. God is speaking to his people who have lost their nation. They're exile in Babylon now. They're suffering. They've seen everything ripped away from them. And God is saying, in this hard time, I am still with you. I am not forsaking you. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. And that promise is not idle, but it's fulfilled in Jesus. He goes through the water. That means that we're not alone. He takes on our humanity. He takes on our brokenness. He experiences the fire of God's wrath on the cross, saying, I'm with you. The death and destruction you've earned, I am taking it on myself. I am for you. I love you. And so when Jesus is resurrected and he tells his followers a clear instruction, go ye to the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what does he say? And lo, I am with you until the end of the age. In other words, I am with you forever. Baptism is a sign, the seal, that when we join Jesus in the waters of baptism, he is with us. His Holy Spirit, like the dove that came on Jesus, that gift, that unique gift that Jesus was received, is actually given to all of us. So that if you've been baptized, I don't care if you were a little baby or if you were 95, it doesn't matter if you're baptized in the waters, that you've joined Jesus in the waters in his death and that source of life, the Holy Spirit's been given to you. It's a promise. It's not a magical spell that a priest puts in the waters. It's nothing like that. It is the promise of God that when you go through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. And it says in Acts, what happened? The disciples went to Samaria and they prayed for some people and they received the Holy Spirit. But do you know the context of that moment? Chapter 8, I'm not sure why it's three verses, but in the chapter, what happens is Stephen was martyred. Paul, St. Paul, who would be St. Paul, witnesses it. The church is persecuted. They have to like flee and run away. And disciples stumble into Samaria and they find believers there. Just so you know, Jews hated Samaritans. It was an incredible hatred between these peoples. And yet the people of God, the disciples, see that Samaritans come to believe in Jesus and they pray and the Holy Spirit shows up. A healing is occurring. The Holy Spirit's presence in your life, that same Holy Spirit that you have in your life, showed up there. A healing between people is happening. So I'll tell you this, and this is to wrap up. The whole point of all this, that Jesus, what Jesus is doing in the waters, and when you join him in that, is because when you are baptized, my friend, you are grafted into the life of Jesus, and you are given an eternal identity. Each one of us has an identity, and most often, and sadly, the identities that we have are ones that we didn't. Crafted for ourselves. When we anchor ourselves in our careers, how much money we make, or how our education, our politics, our sexuality, I don't know, whatever we want to think, this is my identity. And we make it up, and it's so limited by definition because it's human. It's bounded, it's limited. So it's something that's not going to, it can't survive scrutiny. In the end, it's going to fail you. But as a Christian, when you're baptized, you're grafted into the life of Jesus, the eternal identity of the Son. And the identity you're given is that you are forgiven. In order to forgive. If you have any takeaway, take that. That's what baptism is. If Jesus walks into the water to heal you, to forgive you, so that you be reconnected with God, then your identity as a Christian, as you're baptized, is that you are forgiven in order to forgive. And forgiving hurts. In fact, if you have to forgive something serious, it's a death. I don't know if you live long enough, someone's hurt you deeply. And if you ever take the step to actually forgive that person, you feel like you're dying. You're dying inside. And yet God says, I'm with you. Even there in that water, in that fire, I am with you. I am healing you. I'm restoring you. I'm restoring your inner self, your soul. I'm restoring that relationship. I'm redeeming, restoring the whole world. And this begins in the water. The baptism of Jesus. There is, in the end, there is no such thing as the baptism of Seth or the baptism of Elisha or yours. In the end, there is no real you or my baptism. There really is just one baptism. It's the baptism of Jesus. The question is, are you found in that water? Are you found in his life? My friends, in the end, I don't know your spiritual journey. You don't know mine. I'd like to get to know it if I can. Maybe you haven't been baptized. It's something I hope you consider. You're following Jesus. Or maybe you haven't baptized and you're saying, I haven't heard this before. We can have that conversation. There's tremendous hope for you, my friends. I hope and pray that you wouldn't sleep on it, but that we would take this time, even this morning. We're about to come to the Lord's table. We're about to receive the body and the blood. I encourage you to consider if you remember your baptism or if you know you've been baptized as an infant, to hold that in your heart right now and to ask God, I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that. God, is there something in my life that I'm doing to grieve your Holy Spirit? Because I don't think I feel your presence in my life. You're there, but I don't feel it. God, help me to live into the promise that you give me, this Holy Spirit. Help to be an agent of love and forgiveness in this world that so desperately needs it. You've been equipped. I've been equipped. Let's do that together. Not only for our great good, but for God's greater glory. Amen? All right, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we, as we consider the magnitude of that important event of the baptism of your Son, Lord, maybe even for the first time today, God, we thank you that having earned only death and destruction, Lord, you have come to us in healing and love and peace, and you have so deeply identified with us, God, and you offer us your healing and your hope. Lord, I pray for each one of us here this morning. God, I pray that you would, whatever's in our lives that is preventing us from fully trusting you, whatever is stopping us from fully living into the gift of your Holy Spirit, God, I pray that you would silence that, you would remove it, you would kill it, that you would help us, Lord, to come to you in repentance and faith, and we could live out the promise of our baptism that we found in the waters with your Son. Help us in that, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. George in the Pines Sermon Podcast. As we go, may we remember that through Jesus' baptism, we're forgiven, healed, and sent to share his grace with the world. Join us next week as we continue through Epiphany Tide, celebrating Christ's light revealed to all. Peace be with you.